Ever get that feeling, you know, like when you just assume something's like rock solid, untouchable even, and then bam, it hits you that it's way more fragile than you ever imagined.
Yeah.
Well, get ready, because today we're diving headfirst into the idea that democracy itself, the system we build everything on, is a lot more vulnerable than we might think. We're cracking open a source that lays it all out, the fragile state of democracy. And let me tell you, it's not exactly light reading, but that's why you've got us. Think of this as your cheat sheet to understanding the core concerns.
Yeah.
And more importantly, what they might mean for you, like in your everyday life. And to help us unpack all of this, I've got our expert who has this uncanny ability to make even the most complex political theory feel like, I don't know, like a thriller novel or something.
Well, that's the goal at least, right? And this source, it doesn't mess around. It lays things out there, which is important because understanding what's at stake here, that's critical.
Right.
At its heart, it reminds us that democracy depends on these key pillars. You've got free and fair elections, the rule of law being applied equally to everybody, and of course, the protection of fundamental rights.
Okay, so like the Bill of Rights kind of stuff, the things we learned about way back in school. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's easy to take those for granted, you know, like they're just a given.
Yeah.
But history tells us a different story. I mean, you look at the civil rights movement, people literally putting their lives on the line for the right to vote, for equal protection under the law.
Right.
It's a stark reminder that these rights, they weren't just like handed down from on high. They were hard-won victories.
Exactly. And what's worrying is that the fragile state of democracy, it lays out some very real, very current threats to these very principles.
Okay, so let's not bury the light here, right? Hit us with it. What's the biggest, like, red flag waving in our faces?
So this source dives into a bunch of threats, but the one that really jumps out, the one that's kind of like, whoa, is this concept of weaponizing justice.
Okay.
Imagine a system where instead of being neutral, the legal system is being used to target political opponents, to silence dissent. Not to actually uphold the law, but to silence.
Whoa, okay, so it's less about like disagreeing on policy and more about using the courts to just shut down anyone who dares to disagree.
Yeah.
That's a little chilling, not gonna lie. But how would that even look in real life, you know, for everyday people like me?
Imagine, you're just scrolling online, right? Mm-hmm. And you see a new policy. You're like, absolutely not. You post about it, maybe even join some online group to voice your opposition. Suddenly, you're facing an investigation. Or worse, legal charges.
Just for speaking your mind.
Just for expressing an opinion.
Wow. So it's like Big Brother's watching, but instead of just watching, they can like hit you with a lawsuit.
Exactly.
Okay, that's intense.
Yeah, and that's just one example. The source also raises concerns about what happens when the very systems that are supposed to be looking out for us, you know, serving the public good, when those become compromised.
Okay.
Think of it this way. Imagine you go out to eat. You want some good food, obviously.
Right.
But you're also trusting that the restaurant's, you know, following the rules, the health and safety stuff. That's where those health inspectors come in, making sure everything's up to code, whether they like the owner or not.
Yeah, you don't want an inspector who's swayed by a free dessert tray.
Exactly. Now imagine if those inspectors were replaced and the main qualification wasn't experience, but loyalty to that owner.
Hmm.
Suddenly, those inspections don't mean much, do they?
No, not really. And I'm getting some bad flashbacks to my last food poisoning experience, but okay. You're making a bigger point here, right? About the systems we rely on, like the government agencies that are supposed to be looking out for us.
Exactly. And this source talks about the dangers of a system that's become politicized, where instead of career civil servants, people with experience and expertise, you have loyalists whose priority is a political agenda.
And that's where things get, well, interesting, to say the least. And this source gets specific, pointing to agencies where this could have a huge impact, starting with the EPA.
Right, the Environmental Protection Agency. They're the ones safeguarding our environment.
Yeah.
Clean air, clean water, you know, the important stuff.
Because no amount of political spin changes the fact that we need to breathe.
Exactly. And the source, it highlights what happens when the EPA becomes politicized.
Yeah.
You've seen hints of this before.
Yeah.
Remember when the Trump administration rolled back those regulations on methane emissions? Even with scientists warning about, like, speeding up climate change.
Yeah, and those rollbacks weren't just some abstract debate. They had real consequences. Increased risk of respiratory problems for tons of people.
Exactly. And the source makes these connections to other agencies, too, like the SEC, which, okay, might sound a million miles away for most people, but it really affects us all.
Okay, so what is the SEC and why should we care?
Basically, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, they're like the financial police of Wall Street, making sure companies play by the rules, that they're not, you know, being shady with investors' money.
So they're the ones protecting us from another Enron situation where people lost everything.
Exactly. And this source points out that a compromised SEC, one where impartiality is gone, it has huge ripple effects. Imagine instead of cracking down on insider trading or, you know, market manipulation, they just look the other way.
Because it benefits the right people.
You got it. And for most of us, that impact feels distant, right? Something that happens to other people. But the reality is, even if you don't play the stock market, your retirement savings, pensions, they're all invested in that market.
So it's not just about some kind of abstract, you know, fairness thing. It's about everyone's bottom line. It's about protecting people who are just trying to build a future.
Exactly. And this source connects all of this, from the courts and agencies to, like, the air we breathe and our money, back to something even bigger, our individual rights. It argues that when one right gets chipped away at, well, the others are much more vulnerable.
Yeah, it's like that saying, right? First they came for, and then eventually they come for everyone. What's an example of this, you know, this erosion of rights that really hits home?
The source uses those recent restrictions on women's reproductive rights. It's a prime example of how quickly freedoms can disappear. And it says this isn't some isolated incident. It's a sign of things to come for other rights.
Because if they can control something as personal as a woman's right to, you know, make decisions about her own body, what's to stop them from going after other freedoms that we just, like, take for granted?
Exactly. The source makes the point that freedoms are all connected. Think about it. If they can restrict access to health care based on their own ideology, what's stopping them from limiting information, you know, free speech, even the press?
So it's all connected. Pull one thread and the whole thing could unravel.
Exactly.
This is some heavy stuff.
It is. And this source doesn't try to pretend it isn't. But it also gives us a way forward. And one of the most important things it emphasizes is the power of words. It points out how even small comments, that authoritarian rhetoric can normalize really harmful behavior. And that erodes democratic norms.
Like that broken window theory, you let small stuff slide and suddenly the big stuff doesn't seem so bad.
Exactly. Mm. And this source argues that words matter. When leaders, and doesn't matter what side they're on, when they disregard those democratic norms, when they don't condemn violence, when they undermine elections, it creates a space for extremism to grow.
So it's not just about, like, the big speeches. It's about paying attention to the everyday stuff, the little comments, the way people talk about things. That can be a warning sign.
Absolutely. And that leads us to the ultimate message of this source. Protecting democracy, it's not a spectator sport.
Yeah.
It takes action from every single one of us.
Okay, so what can we do besides, you know, not electing those authoritarian leaders we talked about?
The source gives some concrete steps. Stay informed, talk to people who have different views, contact your representatives, support organizations fighting for these values.
It's about remembering that democracy isn't a guarantee. It's something we have to actively work for every single day. And it's up to us, all of us, to shape the future we want to see. Well, that was a lot.
It was.
Kind of a reality check, but hopefully empowering too. If you're ready to take action, we'll have all the resources mentioned on our website. And remember, even small actions can make a difference. Stay curious, stay engaged, and thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.